very message. I want to thank the ladies for all the hard work, the men has worked too, I'm sure some of you. Thank you for a nice place to stay. And thank God for the meeting that we've had this week. It's helped me, been a blessing to me and my wife, and we appreciate all you've done for us. I kind of feel like after following a message like that, like the donkey that entered the Kentucky Derby. All those thoroughbreds said, "What are you doing in this race? You're not going to win this race." He said, "No, but look at the company I'm keeping." So it's an honor to be around Dr. Wells. We've been friends for a long time, and I thank God for it. Luke chapter 4, this is a second step in a series the Lord is helping me with. I do study. Some preachers get older. I recognize that mistake that they made. You can be an old fool and make mistakes when you get old. And a lot of preachers run on yesteryear and their past. And you can't do that and be victorious. You got to keep the wind in your sails. The Lord's been dealing with me about a series. And I am not going to preach the series. But I began, Monday night. The Bible said in 1 Peter 2:21 that Jesus left us an example that we should follow His steps. In that chapter, He's dealing with persecution, how we should be persecuted. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So I haven't got that developed yet, but God's working in my heart about the persecution, how we're going to handle it. It is coming, and we had better know how to handle it. Amen. And then He dealt with me about prayer. I preached on that Monday night. Jesus was a man of prayer. He prayed early. He prayed about every event. He prayed in the evening. He prayed earnestly. So we notice His prayer life. And tonight I want to notice one more thing about Him, and I will be. I know it's 22 or 3 until 9. I'll be as brief as the Lord will allow me to. I've got 4 points I want to try to give you. If I can get through the introduction, the points won't last very long. Amen. But I want to notice the pilgrimage of Jesus while He was on this earth. Luke chapter number 4 has His pilgrimage through the wilderness. I know you're very familiar with that. And God has really dealt with my heart about Luke chapter number 4. It thrilled my heart. It's helped me. And I hope it's helped my family. I hope it's helped my children, my grandchildren. And we had a great grand born last week. And if I get telling you about her, we'll be here till midnight. And Eutychus would probably fall out of the window and kill himself. And I wouldn't be able to raise him up the way Paul did. Amen. You know why they called him Eutychus, don't you? Because Eutychus too, if you fell out of the 3rd story loft. But I'm not going to keep you till midnight, I promise you that. Amen. Isn't this Bible wonderful? And God has a sense of humor. And you can enjoy church. I was glad when He said unto me, "Let us go to the house of God." I wrote in my Bible, it's fun to go to church. We trained our children about church. We were excited about the Lord today. We live from Sunday to Sunday. And I could say a lot, but let's read the first 14 verses of Luke chapter number 4. Stay with me. Brother Wells got us out, and Brother Nichols gave me credit for that when he said, "Thank you, Brother Range, for that message." I will take credit for it at the judgment seat of Christ when we're rewarded for what we've done. I'll take credit for that. He was preaching my outline anyway, most of it. But I will take credit for it. I did say amen and hallelujah while he's preaching. I was in a preacher's meeting, and they were preaching out of Revelation there, chapter 20. And he talked about the hallelujahs, and he said they spelled that wrong. And, of course, I got thrown out of the preacher's meeting. I didn't agree with it. And I told him I didn't agree with it. There's no misspellings in hallelujah, amen. And I was in another preacher's conference in Georgia, and the doctor got up and said, it was impossible for a whale to swallow a man. He said a whale's throat is about that big, about the size of a softball, he said. And he said the Bible does not say that a whale swallowed Jonah. He said the Bible said a great fish swallowed Jonah. And it does say that in the book of Jonah. Yeah. But I spoke up as about 100 preachers there, and I said, sir, have you ever read Matthew 12, 30 or 40? What I think is Matthew 12, 40. And I hadn't been back to that meeting either. So I get kicked out of a lot of meetings. Amen. But I've got a good Bible. I believe the Bible. I believe it's a preserved Word of God. I believe it's been tried in the furnace of fire 7 times and still pure. Amen. Verse number 1, I'll hurry. Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Now that would be quite a message to preach. God incarnate being full of the Holy Ghost. Returned from Jordan and what was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I'm glad he put every word. Amen. We can't pick and choose and throw part of it out. We got to accept it all. So man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Now I could preach there for a while how he wrestled it away from Adam, I think, in the Garden of Eden. But nevertheless, verse 7, if thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered him and said, just answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The devil was trying to get Jesus to bypass the cross. Bow down, worship me, the world will be yours. You won't have to die, you won't have to be spat upon, you won't have to be ridiculed and mocked, and your beard won't have to be plucked, and you won't have to be disrobed, and you won't have to bear the cross. And of course, Jesus rejected that, refused that. Verse number 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. I'll stop there for the sake of time. Ask God to help me. Father, I love you. And Lord, surely we could leave now and say it's been good to have been in the house of God. We have worshipped and adored and praised your holy name. Lord, we've been fed with heavenly manna tonight. But Lord, we feel like for the next few moments you'd have us to close the meeting out, trying to help, Lord, the church in these days to come. And until we are caught up that door that's opened in heaven, and we wave goodbye to this old sinful, wicked world. But until then, I pray it help us tonight to know how we ought to conduct ourselves and what we ought to expect. And Lord, I pray that you'd use me in these next few minutes, and I'll love you and praise you and thank you for it. I ask it, Father, in Jesus' name and just for his sake. Amen and amen. Well, the Bible said in verse number 1, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I'll try to do with a lot of introduction and some of the foundation that God, maybe I should have the message build upon tonight. You probably are familiar with most of us tonight. But my text tonight has the Lord Jesus Christ led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. The Bible said in verse number 1, He came from Jordan full of the Holy Ghost, notice again, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus on His earthly pilgrimage is led by the Holy Ghost into the wilderness. He's led through the wilderness, and over in verse number 13 and 14, He comes out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit in verse number 14, and He came out victorious. Here's my thought tonight. He went into the wilderness victorious. He went through the wilderness victorious, and He came out of the wilderness victorious. Amen. Preacher, how did He do that? Well, I'm going to preach for a little while tonight on how to win in the wilderness of sin. How to win in the wilderness of sin. If you are a Bible student, and you probably are, we could go back to the writings of Moses and Deuteronomy, and I've run the references. We'll not take time to go back there tonight. But Moses referred to the wilderness when he was recanting how God had led the children of Israel from the Egyptian bondage up across the Red Sea. 11-day journey, according to Deuteronomy chapter number 1. 11-day journey from the Red Sea to Kadesh Barnea. And there they did not cross the Jordan. And they turned around and wandered 40 years in the wilderness. We are well familiar with that. And that generation that came out of Egypt, they wasted away. The Bible said they wandered until they were wasted. And God took a generation of young people, raised them up, and sent them across the Jordan River and into Canaan land. Here's my thought tonight. Your Christian life, geography or geographically, will start with freedom from Egyptian bondage, Pharaoh being a type of the devil. Jesus sets us free by the grace of God, and He intends in every one of our lives to get born again to take us into Canaan. That is not heaven. It's preached that way. It's sung that way. But Canaan land is a place where the milk and honey flows, but really it's a place of spiritual maturity. But there are slime pits, there are giants, and there's all kinds of pitfalls in Canaan. It was a terrible land filled with all kinds of immorality, and God had to destroy 7 greater nations and Israel and rid that land that Israel might possess her possession. And God intends for every one of us that are saved by the grace of God, as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, to mature and get into that spiritual land or place of maturity where we can drink out of wells we didn't dig and live in houses we didn't build and eat out of vineyards we didn't plant. Amen. And that was what He had in mind for Israel, but He raised up a generation of young people to do that. I want to try tonight to help, and particularly the youth that are here tonight, and I'm not going to jump over we that are older tonight, but how to win in a wilderness of sin between being delivered from Egyptian bondage and God's plan of getting us over into Canaan, being full of the Holy Ghost. In between those point A and point C, there's a point B that we call the wilderness. The wilderness of sin. And I'm telling you, it's swallowing up. And neighbor, it's engulfing a lot more than we want to admit tonight of saved people, born again, God's true born again children, never get into the land of Canaan. and they know not what the Spirit-filled life is in verse number 1. I don't have time to really preach on being full of the Holy Ghost, but this generation coming up the road, they need to be taught, as well as a lot of older Christians tonight, what the spiritual filled life is. Amen. Galatians 5:22 says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. God says love as much as you want to. Amen. Have as much joy as you want to have. And all of those 9 fruits, there's no limit to any one of them. Just get full of God. Amen. And enjoy the trip. In verse number 1, he's full of the Spirit. In verse number 14, he comes out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. In verse number 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me to preach the gospel. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. I want the power of God in my life, and I want to be anointed when I preach. Amen. And may God help us tonight to desire that. Every one of us that are here tonight, and I pray daily for God to fill me with the Holy Ghost. I beg Him for the power of God to be upon my life. And I never handle this book, and I never mount the pulpit until I ask God to anoint me and clothe me in my calling. Amen. And I may be a poor example of that, but that's my fault and not God's fault. Amen. I think if we'd get as afraid of the Holy Ghost, as sin as we are of the Holy Ghost, we'd probably be a lot better off. Amen. But we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need the power of the Spirit, and we need to be anointed by the Spirit of God. Amen. Jesus said, when He has come, He will anoint you, and He gave the work and the fruit and the attributes of the Spirit there in the Gospel of John. And I looked at it again today, and I really don't have time to deal with it. I'll tell you what I'll do. Just wherever in the message the Lord wants to put the meat on the bone, we'll do that, and I'll quit. Amen. Jesus said in John 16:7, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I will send Him unto you. And when He's come, He'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. I think we got a terrible misunderstanding of the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. I once was lost without God and His Son. Amen. And I don't ever remember God convicting me one time of drinking a beer. I never can remember one time of God dealing with me about some little sin in my life. Now, my wife tried to convict me, and my wife tried to convince me, and my wife tried to threaten me, but the Holy Ghost is in the world today to convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. He drinks, some of y'all drink liquor, and it doesn't bother you. Some of y'all live in sin, it doesn't bother you. Some of you do things that you know a Christian shouldn't do, and it does not bother you. It may be because you're not a Christian, amen. God convicts sinners of the sin of unbelief. Once we get saved by the grace of God, I'm telling you, I can't have an idle thought unless the Holy Ghost said, son, that's not right. I cannot look through the lust of the eye, the flesh, or the pride of life unless the Holy Ghost convicts me, throws up a red flag, and said Jesus Christ didn't act like that, and you shouldn't act like that, and He convicted me of every sin I've ever committed in the last 49 years. I convict them because they believe not on me, the conviction of unbelief. Of righteousness because I go to my Father. Of sin, righteousness, and judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now are you listening? And he dropped down to about verse number 13. And he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Have you got my gist and where I'm headed tonight? Jesus was led by the Spirit of God into through, and out of the wilderness of sin. Here's the promise we have from this infallible book that I'm preaching from tonight. I have God's built-in GPS system, amen, and He will guide me into all truth. He never guides contrary to the Bible. He never leads contrary to the Bible, and He led Jesus into, through, and out of the wilderness. And if He did that, He has given me and given you a promise tonight that He will guide us. When the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We could camp there and build 3 tabernacles and stay a while, but we don't have time. Amen. Get my point. Is the Holy Ghost leading your life? Is He ordering your steps? Is He directing you since you made that profession? Was there a separation and the Holy Ghost took over control of your life and began to try to lead you along? First of all tonight, how to win in this wilderness of sin, and this world is a wilderness. Are you listening? I don't think anybody with one eye, half sense, and a broken pencil would disagree with me tonight. This world is a wilderness of sin. And we're at the tip of the iceberg, but evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. How are we going to survive another Obama or a Hillary or another Republican? How are we going to survive winning? Paul said that I may win Christ. I'm talking about coming out victorious. Romans 8:37, we're more than conquerors through Him that love us. 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We got a major problem today in Hebrews chapter number 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How, preacher? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who through the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I could go on. I love Hebrews 12. I committed it to memory years ago, and I preach it to about every youth camp that I go to. Amen. But nevertheless, consider Him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, having receive this ministry, we faint not. And he dropped on down a few verses and said, we faint not. I don't want to faint, do you? I don't want to get lost wandering out in a wilderness of sin and not come out of this thing victorious. You and I could get a list of preachers and missionaries and ministries and churches and everything else that's God connected tonight, and there are too many casualties, there is too much defeat, there are too many shipwrecks, something is wrong. I do not think that we have learned how to win in the wilderness of sin. If it doesn't help you, it has helped me. Amen. I want to die with glory in my soul. I want to die with that trumpet sounding. Amen. I told my wife, I said, I hope I die in the pulpit preaching the gospel, and that sounds spiritual. But she said, Larry, what would I do if you die in the pulpit? I said, well, I never have thought of that. So I consider her, amen, and I'll preach and then go to the motel and lay down and die. How are we going to win? You got any ideas how we're going to win in a wilderness of sin? I don't have time to preach on their sins in the wilderness. I think it was 23,000 got jabbed through with a javelin in one day. killing them two at a time. You get the picture tonight. And thousands of others murmuring and complaining. And God having them bitten with serpents and leprosy and all kinds of different things. How are we going to survive in this hour in which we're wandering and being taken through this wilderness of this world? Moses referred to it, and you can run the reference. He said it's an evil wilderness, and then he said it's an evil, terrible wilderness, and you young people have been born in this generation, and you are being the light in this wicked, sinful generation in which we're living. How are you going to be victorious? Let me give you four things. I'll shut my big mouth and we'll go to house, the Lord willing. First of all tonight, if you mark your Bible, verse number one, learn to be led by the Spirit. You can be led by the Spirit. Are you listening to me? When God saved you, and I don't have to turn to all the Scripture, you know them as well as I do. What, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. And so you have a built-in director that'll lead you, led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14. Learn to be led and learn to listen to the Holy Ghost, and you can go through this wilderness of sinful wickedness we're living in and come out 79 years or 50 years or whenever Jesus comes, you can come out as a victorious Christian. I fought a good fight, Paul said, and I could give you 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll just drop down to about verse 7. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now listen, do thy diligence to come unto me, for Demas has forsaken me. Was Demas a saved man? I'm persuaded he was. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, I'm not going to argue with you about 1 John. Go study the Bible 49 years and then come back and talk to me. Amen. Having loved this present world, Cretan to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. What happened to these other men? They got swallowed up in this wilderness of sin. The Holy Ghost guiding, leading, directing. We are on this side of Pentecost in the epistles of Timothy, and they were there indwelt by the Holy Ghost. I'll guarantee you tonight, God's Holy Spirit did not tell Demas to forsake the Apostle Paul. And Pastor, you will be forsaken. I pastored 36 years. Some said, I'll be with you through thick and thin. And when it got thick, they thinned out. Amen. Amen. People will forsake you. They'll turn their back upon you, but they'll, as a born-again child of God, they'll never do it without the convicting power of the Holy Ghost saying, don't do it. Learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Learn to listen to Him. He speaks sometimes in a still, small voice. God speaks in different ways, but the Holy Ghost will whisper to you and say, this is the way, walk you in it. Learn to listen to Him, would you? If you are saved, when the temptation comes, I don't have time to deal with the temptations in the wilderness. Heap them all together in three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Turn this stone to bread. Singular stone here. Turn this stone to bread. That's the lust of the flesh. Jesus was hungry in His physical body. Turn the stone to bread. The lust of the flesh. Look at all the kingdoms of the world I'll give you. Just bow down and worship me. That's the lust of the eye. Took him to the pinnacle of the temple and said, jump off the temple. He said, you know it's written that the angels will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. That's the pride of life. And I'm not pastoring this church. I'm not pastoring any church. God called me, I think, to be a try to be a blessing to the church. But I saw a picture of three preachers, preacher, that most of us know, and they were up on the pinnacle of a temple, and they were preaching from the peak of the gable end of the church, and had a crowd gathered around. I'll guarantee you they saw more of those men on the pinnacle of the temple than they did what they was preaching about. Looked like three monkeys climbing a swinging ladder to me. You say, well, I did that at my church. Well, go ahead and have a zoo and whatever you want to have. Amen. I'm talking about the church. We don't need any clowns in church. We need some Christians. Led of the Spirit. Are you listening to me? I could give you a whole lot of scripture. I'm trying to hurry. Acts 13, the church of Antioch, great church in the Bible. After Pentecost, of course, the church in Acts chapter 13, in that church they were prophets, and the Bible lists the name of them, Simeon and Barnabas called Niger and Saul, and as they ministered, they were busy. Are you listening to me, preacher? They were busy, and as they ministered, Brother Patton, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them to do. They were led by the Spirit of God to do what they wanted to do. I remember the night. I don't remember what night it was or what year it was, but it goes way back yonder when the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Brother Bob Patnold and his family, for the work whereunto I've called them to do. That's what he's been doing for the last 40 years or so, whatever it is, preacher. God will lead you. I can take you to the time and tell you the time and the place where God separated. And I lost somebody on those clowns on the rooftop. Amen. I'll be so weary tonight I'll have to take a half a baby aspirin to calm my nerves down when I get to the room. Tears my nerves all to pieces. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul. I've got a job for them to do. Saul, Paul, your job is not to the circumcision. Your responsibility, your ministry is going to be to the uncircumcision, to the Gentiles, and I'm going to send you far hence. And by the way, you're going to do a whole lot of suffering for me, buddy, and you're going to have some jail ministry, and some of them you're going to start from the inside. Amen. And so God has a will for your life, and God has some direction for your life, and if you will listen to the Holy Ghost, He will guide you every step we take. We sing about it, we talk about it, I've written poems about it, but it's in the Bible. God will direct your steps if we'll get sensitive to Him. And the Bible said, thy church laid hands on them. I wouldn't give you a used dip of snuff, a pinto beam with three wormholes in it, for anything that's going on outside the local church. We are living in the church age, the dispensation of the church age. I'm not saying get outside of the church. I'm saying the ministry needs to be born in the church. Amen. And the church is the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And God wants us to get the job done quickly tonight. First of all, verse number 1, if you're going to survive, you're going to have to learn to quit grieving, quenching, resisting, lying to the Holy Ghost, and get submissive unto Him and let Him lead you along the path that God intended for you to walk. Brought us up out of a horrible pit, miry clay, set our feet on a rock, established our going. Now we leave that established our goings out of it a lot of times. Amen. I'm in Taylor, South Carolina, because the Holy Ghost told me in January of 1971 that my wife and I and my family were going to Taylor, South Carolina. I've been there since 1971. Secondly tonight, I think Brother David, if that's his name, preached. He about messed my sermon up this morning. I said, help him to move on, Lord. Look at verse number 4. Sake of time, it is written. Look at verse number 8. The second time, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get behind me, Satan, it is written." Look at verse number 12. Jesus answered, saying unto him, "It is said." Says a little different there in the other gospel, but it is written, it is written, it is written. Are you listening? If you're going to survive, remember to listen and be led by the Spirit of God, and then learn the Scripture. You would be amazed. These men that go around churches preaching, I'm amazed at the ignorance, and I'm not calling you ignorant. We're so much ignorance to the Bible. That's why they're counting their beads and all of this kind of stuff, Pastor, that you were talking about. Learn the Scripture. If you're going to have victory over the devil, if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God and you're going to come out victorious, you're going to have to find out what that Bible says. You, if you're here visiting tonight, you're in a church that don't preach the Bible, you ought to be like a big eight-wheeler rolling down the track. You ought to get on it and don't come back. Amen. Doing everything in the world but preaching the Bible, because you have to study, and much study is awareness to the flesh and laboring in prayer. You say, "Oh, you preachers got it made. Why don't you just grab our coattail and follow us around?" Amen. I had a great grandbaby born, last week, and we passed through town, saw her for a few minutes, and hit the road again. And I'm anxious. I'm leaving here in the morning. I may smoke the tire when I leave out of Greenfield or wherever I'm at. Listen and be led by the Spirit. Learn the Scripture. You young people, learn what that Bible says about your appearance. I can make about half of us mad tonight. Might make myself mad. What's this Bible say? I read it today. For the ladies to adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety. Now, what you ladies, what does modest apparel mean, preacher? Well, you ought to get you a rear view mirror. And when you adorn yourself next Sunday morning, get you a rear view mirror, get you one of them full length door mirrors, get you a mirror, and look behind you and see what we got to look at when you come to church. I think the last time some women looked in a mirror was when the women gave their mirrors to Moses and his brother so they could build a brazen altar. They made it out of brazen looking glass. That's about the last time some people looked in a mirror. They come into church in their tight-fitting breeches. It looks like two cub bears wrestling when they come through the door. And that little feather-legged seminary feller that was voted most likely to succeed, he ain't about to say nothing about it. Because they'll cut off his annuity and move him out of the fellowship hall. Amen. If I was y'all, I'd get the preacher out of the fellowship hall and get him in a house somewhere. Amen. Oh, we're going to take on a bunch of missionaries. That's the first missionary of this church sitting right there on the front pew. I was in a church a few weeks ago, and the preacher sitting crying, tears dripping down the face, and they're taking on missionaries, and the pastor's house about to fall off the hillside. Led of the Spirit. Learn the Scripture. What does the Bible say, girls, about how y'all ought to dress? Your mom and dad will get mad at me, but young people don't get mad at me. They like it. The Bible says for y'all not to wear that pertaineth to a man. So don't adorn yourself in the apparel and as to appear as a man. You got to grow. You got to learn. I understand that. But I'm telling you one thing, I'm not marrying some woman that looks like she could whip King Kong in a fair fist fight. I'd be afraid to marry her.
Amen. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I pastored one or two. I was afraid. I ain't afraid of very many men. This is a young policeman here. I ain't afraid of him. I can't whip him, but I've got a friend called Smith and Wesson I believe could help me out. Amen. Hey, listen to me. My son, you learn some of this and some of it you forget. Amen. But the Bible tells you, what would you think if the boys come in here Sunday morning with blouses and skirts and dresses on? You say, that's different. What's the difference? What if some of you ladies, if your husband came in from work tomorrow night with a dress on, makeup on, jewelry hanging all over him, like lightning struck, he'd kill him in a minute. Maybe you ought to get him. I believe the women ought to wear the jewelry and the men ought to wear the breeches. The Holy Ghost will tell you how to dress. You think I could dress in my wife's garments and the Holy Ghost not tell me, son, you're a pervert? All these body piercings and everything, they ain't nobody ever pierced their body that saved that the Holy Ghost didn't say. The Bible says don't make any marks on your flesh. Good preacher friend of mine preached, don't get in the choir if you got, if you don't have tattoos, don't get tattoos. If you do, don't get on the platform. And there's some women bowed up in the back and went that week, Brother Hoyer, and got tattoos and got in the choir. They'll dare you, buddy. Preacher, what are you preaching? I'm preaching on a generation needs to know how they're going to survive. You're going to have to learn to obey that Bible. Some of these are, there are carnal, they're lost, carnal, and spiritual Christian. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and they're in every church. But listen, to be learned to be led by the Spirit of God, and then learn the Scripture. And I could give you a lot of verses. I'm going to hurry. I didn't preach longer than I thought I would. But let me give you one. Young Joshua, he was a young soldier serving the man of God, serving Moses. And God told him, Joshua 1:8, you commit it to memory. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest impress somebody know. But thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for there thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. You want to be prosperous? That don't mean financial prosperity. There's more to it than that. But that'll make you, you're determined by yourself whether it'll make you prosperous in the sight of God and the things of God and have good success. I could quote the first psalm to you. Bless the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law. You impressed me this morning by those scriptures that you were given. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In His law doth he meditate day and night. And I was preaching a couple of weeks ago, and I said, get your face out of Facebook and get it in the book. And somebody got mad at me and said something to me after church. And I said, man, I did not say to throw the face. I don't know what Facebook is, but I know that you send messages and technology, and it can be used right. So let me explain myself. Don't let technology, Facebook, cell phones, I guess my wife's got mine, all of that stuff take you away from reading and studying and meditating in the Word of God. I said, man, you took me out of context. I like to look at a picture of my great-grandbaby. It makes me soft and tender the way I am tonight. Amen. There's nothing wrong with technology. I'm not riding a wagon train living in a little house on the prairie. This is the 21st century. The leaders are going to be of it. Are you listening to me? Learn to listen to the Spirit. Learn the Scripture. I'm not trying to impress you. I could give you a whole lot. Let me give you one more. Verse number 7. Verse number 8. Jesus answered and said unto him, to the devil, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship. the Lord thy God. For alliteration's sake, preacher, I said, led of the Spirit, learn the Scripture, and love the Savior. Why do you think those four hallelujahs was a ringing through the portals of glory? It was out of the heart and souls of those that are redeemed. And everybody that has ever been born again has fallen in love with Jesus. Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. If you don't love Him, you don't know Him. Not after you can weigh this thing, am I saved? Am I lost? I don't know if I said the right thing. I don't know if I got it or not. Where did you get a love for Jesus in your heart? I never loved Him till I met Him. Amen. I never loved Him till I was introduced to Him. He came into my heart, and if He said, taste and see that the Lord is good, it was love at first bite. Amen. I fell in love with Him. I love Him tonight, and my love is like His love. I don't ever intend to quit loving Him. Jeremiah said He loved us with an everlasting love. I'm talking about worship is loving the Lord. Look with me in my Psalms 95. I'm through Psalms 95. Let me give you two verses and I'm through tonight. Psalm, I said, I got some more points down through there. I'm not going to preach them because I think it's time to quit. But Psalms 95, let me give you a verse. This church has got some help this week. I've got some help. We have worshiped God. Let's look what the Bible says about worship. John 4:24, by your finding the 95th Psalm, said this, God is a spirit, uppercase, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit, that's lowercase, that's your spirit, and in truth. Now, I know we need the Holy Ghost atmosphere, but you have got to learn to get spiritually involved in a service when you come to church. It amazes me that some people come to church, a man and a wife or a young couple, and I told my wife several times, I said they must never talk at home because they talk the whole time I'm preaching. They must never have a conversation at the house. What did he say? What I'm doing tonight's more important than the candidates getting together next Thursday or whatever they're going to do. Psalms 95:6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Do you worship Him when you come to church? Do you enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise, and worship Him? Amen. The average church that I get into, there is very little worship. Amen. Here's where we're at. Now you can listen to me. A few of you turn me off. That's fine to me. I don't worry about that. We are trying to entertain a generation of young people that knows nothing about God, and we have to entertain them to keep them. But if you teach them to worship God, I'm telling you, buddy, they'll get the front seat. You'll have to get there early to get a good seat. And you ask these men, I pastored a good church. Are you listening to me? Psalms 95:6. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel. Boy, preacher, I'm crippled and got arthritis, and I'm not talking about the position. I'm talking about worshiping God. Amen. But your clothes shouldn't be so tight you can't bow down and worship. I will tell you that. Psalms 96:9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. That God deems to be so beautiful, we, being independent Baptists, we practice so poorly. My family used to sing, "The wedding bells broke up that old gang of mine." But they're still singing, and different, my daughter's family sings, my son's family sings, and every once in a while we'll get by, and he'll say, "Dad, you and Mom, come up here and sing with us." And the one time, that about ends that. Amen. But I told my children, I said, "When you sing, I said, you're singing to Him."
Yeah. Amen.
Don't worry about it. I believe you ought to play carefully on a stringed instrument, don't you? But I believe when you play and you sing, it ought to be to Him. That's when you'll be a blessing to people and to the church. Loving. Worship. Jesus said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God," and I'm through, "Him only shalt thou serve." Let me insert this for the younger preachers. You're going to have to labor scripturally on the word serve. We have got folks that are laboring in different things and things going on that are not scriptural, and it will be wood, hay, and stubble at the judgment seat of Christ. And they're getting false professions up on top of false professions, and they think they're doing God's service, and it is not scriptural. Are you listening to me? You have to labor scripturally.
Right.
Down south, what I'm doing tonight, we call preaching. Now, some people don't call it preaching, but I got one gear, and I preach the same thing and the same message. Brother Bible salesman there, he told me today, he said, "I heard you preach that first point of the series you're working on down in Valdosta or somewhere. I don't change my message whatever congregation I get in."
Amen.
But I'm going to survive this wilderness journey by the grace of God.
Yeah, amen.
I'm going to listen to the Spirit. I'm going to learn what this book says. Now, I've got a long way to go. I'm still in kindergarten. I'm going to love the Savior.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do my best to labor Scripture.
Amen.
I am not changing.
Amen. Yeah.
You can travel this area, and I hadn't been in this area a lot, and I'll guarantee you, you won't hear a man get up and expound the Scripture the way you've heard in this meeting. Very few, if there's any. Because preaching of the cross, it just doesn't get the job done, they say, anymore. They're rapping with them, and they're got them a little podium down front. If I'm teaching Sunday school, sometimes I may do that to get down a little closer and get down on the floor with the congregation. But I'm telling you this, God still wants us marching according to the instructions He gave us in this book. You want to survive the wilderness? We had youth meetings when I pastored. I'm on my way to my seat. We had youth meetings when I pastored. They began to grow. There was probably somewhere between 500 to 600 young people there, and the adults got to come and everybody else. But one night, I raised this question in the invitation. I said, "How many in this congregation tonight has ever prayed and asked God to fill them with the Holy Ghost?" And I didn't go to Ephesians 5:18. That's not a suggestion. That's a commandment. Be not drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. And out of about 600, there was about 4 or 5 raised their hand and said, "I have asked God to fill me with the Holy Ghost." It's not being preached.
Yeah, amen.
We're not being taught. There's a Spirit-filled life.
Yes.
And we don't know what it is in this generation. There's spiritual worship. There's a spirit that moves in the church in waves. We've seen that, and you've seen some of it. And how much we need that in these last days. But you can't have it if you grieve Him and quench Him and resist Him and lie. Jesus had 5 major wounds, and there's 5 major wounds of the Holy Ghost. And we're committing those in our churches. And He's grieved where He can't work in His power. Thank you.
Amen.